Hello and welcome back to our podcast on international medical graduates and their transition into working and training in the NHS. Today, I am pleased to welcome Dr. Tolu. She's currently a clinical skills fellow in a trust grade role in Yorkshire. I spoke to Tolu while working with her on a project and was very inspired by a positive attitude to the challenges she faced in moving to the UK from Nigeria. I love the energy she brings, and I'm very excited to share that on this podcast episode. Dr. Tolu will be covering topics including communication difficulties she faced, what her experience of a good supervisor to an IMG was like, and her tips for coping with isolation when you first moved to the UK. Dr. Tolu, welcome to the podcast and thank you for your time. Let's start off by asking you to share what your journey has been like to your current role so far.
Thank you so much, and it's such an honor to be here. My name is Tolu Lopepopolabe. I would like to be called Tolu just for ease of communication. I grew up in Nigeria, had my medical education there. I had practiced in Nigeria as a doctor for about 6 years. And then I migrated to the UK last year. That was in 2021. I initially started off in elderly care medicine and orthogeriatrics. And this August, I started a role as a clinical fellow. I work in the acute assessment unit and part-time in the clinical skills department, just teaching medical students, doctors, and anyone that would like any skills updating.
Excellent. And I'm sure your energy serves you well when you're teaching students as well.
Yeah, I think so.
So tell me more about what your initial transition was like when you first started in your elderly medicine job. What were the challenges you faced?
That question brought a smile to my face because, yeah, I think it was a bit challenging. I would say that it was really more about communication challenges, really, because we have elderly patients, some of whom a bit of hearing impairment, and then I've got a bit of a strange accent, and putting those two together just make things worse sometimes. So sometimes I'm like trying to speak with them and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm deaf, I can't hear you, I'm deaf. And I'm like, okay. And sometimes I just go with somebody and I'm like, could you just tell her what I'm trying to say? Because I don't know what to do about this anymore. I was doing the TABS, that's like the team assessment of behavior. And I got feedback that said that I spoke too fast and made difficult for the elderly patient to hear me. And so I think after then, I just learned to like slow down when I speak. And then I pick my words one after the other, and then I shout or I just move closer to their ears, and I think that made things a bit easier.
Thank you for sharing that. Thinking about what you went through at the beginning, it must have been quite disheartening and demotivating for you to get that feedback. How did you overcome that?
I wouldn't say that it was disheartening, really, or demotivating. That's not the word I would use. Maybe I should go back to coming into the UK. Before coming into the UK, it was both exciting and a bit scary. Exciting because it's going to be an opportunity to try a new thing and then just see how medicine is done differently. And then it was scary because it's going to be a whole new system, a whole new culture. I'm not even sure what they are going to be like. I'm not sure if I'm going to fit in. And so I started trying to read, trying to get what people's experiences were like. And then I joined some Facebook groups. Nigerian Doctors in the UK have a Facebook group. And then there's another Facebook group, International Medical Graduates in the UK. And then I joined those groups and I read people's experiences. I read how people left work every day and they were basically had to go cry. I heard how people felt lost, and some people are like, I've been here for like 2 or 3 months. I have absolutely no idea what I'm doing. So it made me feel like, okay, this is going to be like a daunting task. And so I think I came with the mindset that it's not going to be easy, but it's just baby steps. Yeah, you might fall, but it's left for you to just pick yourself up and keep going, and then just learn from things and just find ways to improve yourself, get things better, and just fit into the system. So I think that was the mindset I was coming in. And so when things got difficult, it was not my cue to quit or to feel like there's a problem. I think it was my cue to say, okay, there might be a problem really, but how do we go from here? What's the solution? So the feedback was like, good. So I felt like, okay, so maybe this is why they didn't hear me. And really, I think in retrospect, I looked back and I felt like, oh, I actually do speak very fast. So I had to like then slow down, and things got better from there. So I wouldn't say that it made me disheartened or something. It was just like a learning experience, and I reflected on it and then did better henceforth.
That's excellent. Thank you for sharing that. I'm sure that will be very helpful for other people going through the same experiences as you. I guess there's something there about you coming in with an open mind and as well a learning mindset. You were ready to take on those challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wanted to know a bit more. So you talked a bit about at the beginning, one of the main challenges was communication.
Yeah.
How did you find settling and finding your way around the system? What was your induction or your shadowing period like?
Well, I think I had a trust induction, and then I probably should have had a departmental induction, but I guess because I was out of sync, because I came in mid-September, I started working mid-September. So I think somehow there was just a communication gap one way or the other, and that didn't happen. But I got to shadow, and my first day at work was a beautiful story. It's one that I look back at and I'm like, hey, well, I probably had no idea what I was doing, or maybe I did, but I was supposed to shadow someone, but she had somebody else she was shadowing, and there was another doctor on the ward. And I was like, okay, it's just to shadow, just to see how things are being done. So I'll go with you. And then shadowing is where you just sit and just learn how to do things, how the system works. And I think that particular doctor didn't know that it was my first day in the UK, or in, not in the UK. I've been in the UK for like a few weeks, but at least at work in the UK, it was my first day. And well, I think after the handover in the morning, I heard all they were saying, and I was like, okay, it looks like medicine is the same everywhere. And then we had gone to see like one or two patients, and I was like, okay, it's just the same ward round that I do in Nigeria. It's just the same patient. Just see what was the patient admitted for, what has been done so far, how are they doing today, what's your plan. So I just felt like, okay, it's just the same ward round. And I felt like, I don't know what was running through her mind, but she probably felt like I was all right. And then at one point, we were supposed to ring somebody for something. And she was like, would you ring? And I was like, I just don't even know how to do that. I mean, I was just like, just dial switchboard. How do I dial switchboard? Just dial 0 and ask them to connect you. And then I ended up making that call. But I can't even remember what the call was about, really. But I was like, okay, looks like welcome to work. And I think I ended up seeing like one or two patients on that first day. Well, I think this person just didn't realize that I was new. But I feel like, how do you actually do something is to actually do it. So maybe she threw me under the bus, but maybe that was what I just needed to just get going. Because if you keep saying, okay, I'm shadowing, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, and then by the time you are on your own, you've never really done anything and you don't know how to do it. So maybe that did help me a bit. Maybe, I don't know, but that was my experience.
I think it's great the way you've reflected on that. You talked about how you just felt lost and not really sure how to do the specific action. So you said the medicine's the same, it's just the logistics that are different. Yeah. Would you say it's about that balance of obviously respecting you as a fellow doctor, but also not assuming that you know everything in the system?
Well, I wouldn't blame this person. I just feel like it's probably because, you know, the person I was supposed to shadow already knew my story, but this person probably didn't know my story and probably just assumed. Maybe I also should have said, oh, I'm really sorry, but it's my first day here. It's my first job in the UK and all of that. And I'm just really here to just learn as much as I can. Maybe I also should have said that. But yeah, I think I was shy because when I first came in, I didn't really like to talk because I just couldn't deal with, oh, can you come again? Can you come again? So I just didn't really like to talk.
And how do you think that's changed now? You are on this podcast.
Exactly.
That's brilliant. To be fair, I had to send you a few emails being like, Tolu, do you want to come? No, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story. So that's a really excellent reflection, though, and a really good tip for other IMGs, isn't it? It's opening up that communication as an IMG saying, I am new. I do not know what you mean by ring switchboard. I don't know how to bleep someone. I didn't even realize bleep still existed.
Yes, I mean, what's that thing that is just screaming?
Exactly. And I don't know how many hospitals you've worked in, but some hospitals, you can't even use your phone to call someone because there's no signal as well.
Yeah, there's just no signal, yeah.
No one tells you this on your first day, do they? Oh, that's excellent. And I understand that in your first few months of your transition into the NHS in the UK, you met a really lovely supervisor. I wonder if you could share a bit more about this supervisor and what made them so great.
So I had this educational supervisor who was absolutely amazing. I think she made my transitioning so easy. You know, when you get into a system and then I got my Oros login, I got a supervisor, I set up a meeting with her the first day because I was like, oh, I don't know who this person is going to be. I go into meet and she was like, oh, so lovely to meet you. I even interviewed you. And I was like, oh, she's so cool. Oh, welcome. Where have you been? Where did you stay? How are you? Hope the cold is not getting to you. Have you gotten your thermal gear? It's almost winter. It's going to be so cold. I can tell you where to buy some from. Okay. Have you? And I was like, okay, this is sweet. And, you know, I was just like, okay, so what problems have you faced since you got in? Have you got your logins? Have you got this? And I was like, I've not gotten my ICE login to check blood results and all of that. She was like, oh, how? Why? Okay, let's go. Let's go to the IT department and let's sort it out now. And I was like, okay, this is good. She was just so helpful. She asked me what my challenges had been because I got allocated to her maybe like a few weeks after I had gotten in. And then she asked me what challenges I had faced so far. Do I know how to book annual leaves? Do I know how many I'm entitled to? Do I know how to book study leaves? She had just asked me like loads of questions. What do I need help with? Is there any skills I really wanted to learn? Do I think that there's any way she can help? And then she gave me her phone number and she's like, just call me, put me on speed dial. And if you have any problem, if anyone is bothering you, if there's anything you want to talk about, just ring me. And I was like, okay, she's so lovely. And I felt like, okay, maybe she's just trying to be nice. But no, she's just lovely. Like from then henceforth, she just kept checking on me. At a point, she was like, okay, so what are your plans? Let's make plans for... The first meeting was not about my plans. It was just about checking up on me generally. The second meeting was about, so what are your plans? You've been in the NHS for a while now. So what more do you think you need to do? Have you gotten an audit? Are you interested in one? Let's plan it. She told me who to speak with. Have you finished your mandatory trainings? And all of those things, have you done your ALS? So what's the plan? So she just helped me plan my career and my life and my journey. She was so welcoming. Like I could literally just ring her up and be like, oh, so I'm on this ward and I don't know. I've been trying to ring the consultant or the person. And she's like, okay, don't worry, I'm coming now. So she was just so accessible and so helpful, and I wasn't afraid to go speak with her or to ask her for anything. Nothing was too stupid to ask her, and she was just so understanding. Even when I'm feeling low, like, okay, I don't think I'm doing well or something, she tells me, no, you're doing so well. I mean, you've crossed continents to be here. You're coping with the weather challenges. You're coping with the culture shock. So I think you're really doing well, and I'm really so proud of you. And she just made me feel so good. She's no longer my supervisor, but she tells me all the time, well, we probably should even have a better relationship now that I'm no longer your supervisor, because at least no one can say I'm favoring you or something. So just walk up to me. You need to get a CBD. Walk up to me. We'll discuss it. You need to get something done. Walk up to me and we'll discuss it. And she was just so lovely, really. And she just made my life easy.
Thank you for sharing that. I'm so pleased for you that you had someone that you wouldn't hesitate to have on speed dial, because there are many scary moments when you first start working in a different system. No matter how long you've worked as a doctor, if you don't know the system, you don't know what to do.
You don't really.
There's just something there as well. She wasn't going by her agenda. She wasn't going by a tick box. She was going with what you needed.
And it was really good. When I count my blessings, I count her like 1,000 times. She made my life so easy. She's one of the good things that happened to me, really.
And I'm really glad one of the first questions she asked you was, have you bought your thermals? Because it's cold.
It was one of the things that warmed my heart. Like, this person is so interested in my well-being. She's even asking if I'm preparing for winter already. That's like really thoughtful of her.
Well, speaking about the weather, one of the key differences, I guess, between Nigeria and the UK is the weather. I wanted to know what it's been like for you adapting between living and growing up in Nigeria and then moving to quite a quiet part of Yorkshire. What's that been like for you?
A bit depressing. Well, I'm serious. To be honest, I think I had SAD last year. That's seasonal affective disorder. I think I had SAD because it was cold and miserable and dark. I was just going down with the weather. You know, it was just bad. You know, when you do IELTS, that's the English exam, one of the questions was like, what does sunlight mean to you? And I'm like, sunlight. But, you know, we just learn all of the things to say because it's an exam and we just prepare for it. So we say, oh, it makes me happy. It makes me bright and all of that. And I just used to say all of those things. But when I got to England, okay, I reflected and I was like, okay, that question was actually true. Because now you ask me what the sunlight means to you, I can tell you what sunlight means to me. It means happiness. It means warmth. Sunlight just makes all the difference.
And you actually mean it this time. It's not just for an exam.
I mean it this time.
I understand that you've been living in hospital accommodation close to where you work. Some people find that very isolating. What's that been like for you?
I think that it is isolating, to be fair, because it's quiet most of the time. But to be fair, I'm not sure I can be bothered, really. The reason I can't really be bothered is because I don't have so many friends in this area anyway. So moving out of the hospital accommodation doesn't mean I'm close to my friends. It just means that I get to wake up earlier. Sometimes I wake up 7:30 and then I just jump up quickly, go take a bath and run to work. I don't have to commute to work. I feel like leaving the hospital accommodation would just mean that I have to then commute to work. I have to wake up earlier. I have to spend more time on the road. I feel like it's just unnecessary stress, really. And that's why I've just said, I'm just going to stay in the hospital accommodation. And it's quite comfy, to be fair. I'm just going to be here for now.
I guess, are there any downsides
of living in the hospital accommodation? It's quiet. It's really quiet. And sometimes you and your flatmates have like different shifts. So you probably won't see yourself for like a week. Or you just see and just say hello, hello and hi, and just move on. So it's really quiet, but I think that a lot of times I also like my own quiet, really, which is not good because it can tilt you to depression. But I have some pastimes. Netflix has been my best friend since I moved to the UK. I see a lot of movies, and then I just chat up my friends, just ring them, and then we just have long chats. Sometimes I just pack my bags and I just go away. Yeah, I think that was one of the things that really helped me when I first came. Like almost every weekend, I just pack my bags and go. I went to London, went to Edinburgh, went to Liverpool, Manchester, everywhere. Just because I'm bored, I need to go out and do fun things. I need to explore.
Good. So sort of taking the initiative to go exploring the area around you,
yeah,
to overcome the isolatedness. Because it is very different, Yorkshire, compared to, was it Lagos, yes, in Nigeria, yeah, that you grew up in?
Lagos is loud and bubbly. Well, I find that the difference between Nigeria where and the UK is that in Nigeria, you don't go seeking or looking for fun. It finds you anyhow. Just step out of your house and there's something to make you laugh or someone to do something crazy and you're just laughing. There's just something to just cheer you up the whole day. Whereas in England, you have to go seeking fun for yourself. Because when I first came, it was really weird for me because I'm going to work and probably I worked with somebody on the ward yesterday. We worked together quite well. And I see the person and I'm smiling and saying hello. And the person just does like they don't know me before. And I'm like, okay. That's strange. So, like, what's happening? And everyone just wants to go on their own. No one is talking to you. No one is greeting you. I think sometimes I felt rude because I felt like I'm not going to lose my own training because I came to England. My mom used to beat me if you don't greet. And I come here, you don't expect me to greet. So I think it was a bit of a culture shock, but I got over it and I just said that, oh, it's not because they ate me or they're snubbing me. It's just how everyone is. Everyone just likes to mind their business and just go about their way and all of that. So I learned and I moved on.
That's a really interesting reflection. And I guess it can be quite intimidating when you don't realize that,
yeah,
people don't mean,
yeah,
to be rude.
Yeah.
Coming towards the end of our episode today, and I wanted to close off with three questions. The first one is, what would be your advice for new or incoming IMG doctors such as yourself?
Thank you so much. Okay, the first thing is, I know that coming from a place like Nigeria, I don't know how they do in other countries, but I guess that it should be the same in other Asian countries or something too. I think as a doctor, you're expected to know everything. And so you can't just say you don't know. Don't know means that you're not a good doctor. So it's different here. Don't be afraid to say, I don't know. I learned that early on. Like, oh, can you do this? Oh, I'm sorry, but I've just not been trained on how to do it. Or I've never done it before. I'm sorry. I could ask somebody else, but I'm just not comfortable doing it. Like everyone says that all the time. So don't be afraid to say, I don't know how to do it. Or I don't know the answer to this. Even when a patient asks you something, oh, I'm really sorry. I don't know the answer to that. I will check it up or I will ask my seniors and I will get back to you. So just don't be afraid to say, I don't know. It's allowed not to know in England. Another thing would be, ask for help and ask questions, like really ask questions. Someone says something and you don't understand what they are saying, ask them, what do you mean by this? Why do you want me to do this? Oh, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm just trying to learn. So ask questions, ask for help. You're struggling to do something. I struggle is not a word I used to use before I came to England, but now struggle is like part of my word. I'm struggling, can you help me please? So yeah, so ask for help. You're struggling to do something, just ask somebody for help. They'll rather you ask for help than you mess things up and compromises patient safety or whatever. So just ask for help and move on. Don't think that asking for help means that you are stupid or something. No, it doesn't. Ask for help. Another thing would be, give yourself permission to be new. Don't be too tough on yourself. I think sometimes we place a lot of expectations on ourselves. We forget that for you to be here, it must have been a very brave decision to leave your family, your life as you know it, to move to like an entirely different place. And I mean, you had to write the CLAB exam to be here. So GMC thought that you were fit enough to practice in the UK. You did an hospital interview and they felt like you were enough. So pat yourself on the back. You are just new. It's a new system. You are trying to adapt. You are trying to know how they get to do things in this kingdom and in this culture. So don't be too tough on yourself. Just give yourself permission to be new. Another thing will be, look on the bright side. Just smile. Be kind. Be interested. I think smiling is one of the things that probably helped me when I first came, because I like to smile even before I came here. So I'm like, oh, she's always smiling. She's always happy. Yeah, just smile and be kind to people. Offer to help them. Be interested. Ask them, oh, you had a day off. Did you do anything nice? Where did you go? So all of those things would just mean that people warm up to you because they feel like you are interested. But if you are just a loner, you don't talk to anybody, you don't smile, you're not kind, people just feel like, oh, I don't know what's wrong with her, she's always stuck up. So just smile and be kind. And then look up anything strange that you encounter during your day. I usually carry a jotter. This is like my jotter. And then I just write down things, medications, a new term. You know, when I came in, there were like loads of abbreviations. TWOC, POC, DSN. Like, what does all of this mean? So just write it down. Ask, like, what does that mean? Write it down. You see a new medication you're not used to, write it down. You see a management plan or something, write it down, and then you can keep refreshing yourself. After a while, you probably wouldn't use that jotter as much, but in the beginning, when you get home, you can look up all of those things. If you encounter something similar another time, you can just say, oh, I think I've seen this before, let me check my jotter. Oh, this is it. Oh yes. And then you just consolidate the learning. Another thing would be, look up hospital protocols. They use protocols in the UK. You don't have to know it all, as I said earlier. So just go on the hospital intranet. That was one of the resources I found most helpful. If I don't know something, I just go on the intranet. Anything whatsoever. Anything. I just type it there. And then it brings up like, and I read it. Sometimes I download them, come home, read them. Just look up the protocol, download it, read it at your leisure and all of that.
Those are really good tips. Those protocols, you're right, it will tell you everything for every condition, if you need hyperkalemia, anything. And you're right about those abbreviations. There's so many. I think the worst one I've seen was LOLFLOF, which stood for Little Old Lady Found Lying on Floor. I thought you'd like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't use that. Even a thing. Don't use that in your notes.
No, it's not a thing. Oh, you see Bieber. Yeah. Like, what is Bieber? Is it Justin Bieber or what?
And my next question is, what advice do you have for educators to IMG colleagues who have recently transitioned into the NHS?
Well, I think for educators, I think the advice would be that these people are doctors and they probably were doing well before they came in. So cut them the slack, really. It's a new system. They are trying to find their way. They are trying to find their feet. Some of them have never been away from home before. And everything is just so new and confusing sometimes. So be kind to them. Be patient with them. Listen to them. Be genuinely interested in them. Some of those things will just brighten them up and we just bring out the good in them, instead of being tough on them or just feel like this person didn't have a good medical education or something. No, it's just a new system. Even in the UK, things differ from hospital to hospital. Protocols differ, equipment differ. I've had somebody who came from an hospital and has been working in that hospital in the UK for like 4 or 5 years, came to my hospital and like, oh, the cannulas here are different. Can I watch you do it? So even in the UK, things are different. Not to talk of coming from like another continent. Just be supportive, be kind to them, be patient with them and just help them.
And my last question is, what advice do you have to staff members working alongside IMG colleagues who have just started?
Don't think we are stupid, please. To be fair, sometimes you go to a ward and they look at you like, okay, this person is black. Does she really know anything? It might not be deliberate, to be fair. It's just this subconscious thing like, oh, just an IMG. Like, does she really know? Or does he really know? So don't be stuck up in your first meeting with an IMG, really. Just be open to them. I've met a lot of lovely nurses. Like, they are very supportive of IMGs. Like, it would be nice if everyone is like that, because everyone is a team, really. And you're there to, like, support each other. So it would be nice to be kind to this person, help them out. There are something, you've been working in this hospital for, like, years, and this person has just come from another continent, like, 2 weeks ago. So you're probably at a better position to help this person. So help them, point out things to them, and don't do it in a derogatory manner. Do it with patience and with a kind heart, really. And just don't look at somebody like, oh, this person, I think I'm going to have a bad day today just because this is the person working here. No, done an hospital interview, they've passed the PLAB exam to be here. So it just takes a little getting to know the system and they'll get there. So just be kind to them, really.
That's lovely. It's about having an attitude that's encouraging people to learn, make mistakes, and having that kind and safe space to be supportive of them.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Well, that's a wrap on today's episode. Thank you very much, Tolu. You brought the energy that I wanted, and thank you for sharing your experience. Do you have anything to add before we finish?
I think I've probably talked too much now. Time to go.
You haven't. That was really lovely, and thank you for sharing your experiences and your views with us. Goodbye and take care. Hello again, and thank you for listening to this podcast. The introduction and ending music is called Happy Day by Stock Music and was obtained from Pixabay. I would appreciate any feedback from you as a listener. Please complete the feedback form in the link attached to this episode, and feel free to drop me an email or reach out via Twitter. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and I hope you have found this episode valuable in improving your knowledge around topics relating to international medical graduate doctors and their transition into the NHS. Goodbye for now.